We are here this evening with Lauren Yoder. She works with Blue Sky, a nonpartisan organization in Waukesha that's geared to educate folks, get people involved publicly.
Yeah, civic engagement.
And we're talking about young people in particular, right? Yes. Ages 16, maybe 14 to 24, 25.
Yeah, roughly.
So what do you think young people are going to bring to the elections August, November, and 2024? What, in terms of, do you see a new energy? Do you see more intentionality? What do you think?
I see more energy than I saw for sure in 2020, because 2020 seemed to, the goal was just general frustrations with the current administration, and let's move past that. That was kind of what we had been seeing. We're also in a pandemic, so it was a little more difficult to gauge that. But now, because we saw the highest youth voter turnout ever in 2018, and from everything I've been reading, but also what I've been seeing, is that we are supposed to have just about as high of a turnout, if not higher, of young people in this election, which is absolutely incredible and is not something that should be ever taken for granted either. But I think for the most part, we really want to see a more progressive shift this year. Young people really want to see, they want to elect more progressive candidates. They want to elect younger candidates. They want candidates that are talking about things, but that also have a track record of doing things. So I think this year there is that intentionality, and especially around issues. You know, in Wisconsin, we know this year, this election, the right to an abortion is absolutely on the line. Right now we have elected officials who are trying their absolute hardest to protect that. We have a few who are trying that at the top, but we know that in this election cycle, all of that could go away. So that's something that I know a lot of organizations have really been organizing around, and young people have really been responding to. So if we're able to keep up with that, I think that we will see a very high turnout this year of a lot of very energetic young people turning out.
That's not pretty exciting. It's really exciting. You know, I would love to see it. I mean, we do need a statement made, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, somebody has to show up and call people out, mm-hmm. I think. And this, it's interesting to me that young people, young women in particular, are like, what did you do with Roe v. Wade, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. I think a big part of that is the fact that for so many years we were told it was safe. We were told nothing was going to happen to it. It's completely fine. You know, we don't need to codify it. It's fine. It's fine. We can wait. And then it was just gone like that. And so there was this shock. You know, obviously when it was first leaked in May, there was the initial shock. And then there was a shock again when it actually happened in June. Yeah, I think that also plays into this election as well, though, that, you know, a lot of these elected officials were saying it's fine for so long, and now we're like, it was not fine. We need people who will actually do what you said you were going to do, which is why these primaries are so interesting and so important.
So where are young people communicating on these issues, right? I mean, you know, before we jumped on the show tonight, you were sort of talking about Facebook is really passe. So where are young people organizing on social media? And where should folks like me go look to find out what young people are thinking and how they're thinking?
Yeah, so a lot of organizing happens on Instagram. there's kind of this term for like an Instagram activist where you don't do much outside of the platform, but you share things, usually infographics from groups to your social media, hoping that your friends will see it. It's not the most impactful thing that you can do, but it usually helps to spread the message. People are also on Twitter a lot, Those conversations tend to be a bit less serious. They tend to be more jokes, but rooted in truth, rooted in how we're feeling and how we're thinking. And then the big one, which is really hard to tap into because it's all videos, is TikTok. That's where a lot gets shared. That's where a lot of information, and more importantly, a lot of misinformation gets shared. But that's where you can really gauge how people are feeling based on how they're interacting, what videos are getting, are going viral, which ones, you know, are then get moved to the other platforms. So I would say TikTok, but if you're trying to create content for young people to see, that may be the most difficult one. So maybe stay on Instagram.
Blue Sky, where's Blue Sky moving? Where are you
yeah,
at?
Yeah, if all I was three? Creative enough to do TikTok, I would be doing that. But I'm running our social media right now, and I am not creative enough to be making TikToks. So I stick, I mean, we do use Facebook. That's not the one that we use to target young people as much. But we use Instagram quite a bit. We created our account recently. And with that, we're just trying to engage as much as we can with as many people as we can. And we use Twitter quite a bit as well, because that's a very easy way just to get a message out quickly to people. So
so if people want to find you on Instagram or Twitter, where are they looking?
Yeah, on, for all of our platforms, we're just Blue Sky Waukesha, all, you know, all one part of our username. So, yeah.
How do you see young people being engaged in the primary?
It's been interesting this year because usually I have friends in my non-political science friends who would come up to me and be like, there's an election going on. What are you talking about? I thought it wasn't until November. And in those cases, I had to explain the concept of primaries to a lot of people. But this year, so many people know about the primary candidates, especially for Senate. That's a big one because Ron Johnson has kind of made himself a target, and a lot of people are very excited to vote for the candidate that wins the nomination for the Democratic Party. But people are just, I don't know, I think that they're just really excited to turn out this year. They're really informed and they're ready to get out and vote.
That would just be, like, remarkable. How is Blue Sky tracking and organizing and getting people out on August 9th?
Yeah, so our website right now has a lot of resources on it. It's just been updated recently, and we take questions and stuff on there. I answer all of the questions from our social media accounts, and we have a lot of resources for the primary, for requesting your ballot, tracking it once you send it back in, which you should absolutely do, registering to vote, all the dates that are really important. That's all up on the website, and those are all things that we communicate with people about. I talk to people through our social media, and I talk to them in person at events as well, just making sure that they have the communication that they need.
Thank you so much, Lauren Yoder.
Thank you.
Folks, check out Blue Sky Waukesha. This is the Paul Revere Show. We will be back next Monday night. Thank you. Get involved, stay active, register to vote. You can only vote once each election, but register to vote and vote. Thank you all.
Always expect something extraordinary at Daily's Flair Bar in Craft Kitchen in Sun Prairie. Try Daily's gourmet bar food, homemade pasta, breads, and sauces, and owner Steve Daly's legendary cherry smoked ribs, plus Friday fish fry and Sunday brunch, just off Highway 19 and 151 in Sun Prairie. See the full menu at dailysbarandgrill.com. It's never off the truck at Daly's Flair Bar and Craft Kitchen in Sun Prairie.
And we're back. Hey, it's Noemi, the host of IPOS On Air. Tune in to IPOS On Air every Friday at 7 p.m., only on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. Join us to discuss our progress in creating the first project-based, student-directed, interdisciplinary climate justice high school course in the Madison School District. And hear from...